reading the book and seeing the movie called The Hiding Place. There's a story about a young gal as she told her story as a family who was in the concentration camps in Germany. And she talks about the difficulty of the concentration camps, talked about horrible conditions, and how her faith helped her get through this. And she and her sisters and others tried to help other people hold on to hope in the middle of that horrible crisis. Well, after she got out of the concentration camps, the war's over and they were released, she went around to churches telling her story about what that experience was like. And at one of the churches that she went to, after she got done speaking, a man came up to meet her, and she noticed his face, recognized it as one of the guards at the concentration camp. And he came up, introduced himself, and said, "I want to thank you for your testimony. I've received," kind of like what Roger said, "I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I'm thankful for your witness, and I want you to forgive me for what I did to you." Now, I don't know if you've ever had an encounter similar to that. My guess is that probably each one of us in this room has had something, sometime when we had a decision of our will to offer grace to somebody who maybe had injured us. Kind of unexpectedly, you saw them, and all of a sudden, the whole story of what had happened in that injury or that offense towards you, and you have to make a decision how you're going to respond. Has the life of Jesus and the story about forgiveness and grace touched you enough that now it could apply in this difficult situation? We've been in the midst of a 9-week series here looking at the first chapter in the Gospel of Mark. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles, turn there, Mark chapter 1. And we've been overlaying this chapter with this idea that God is doing something new. And every day there's a new mercy or there's a new expression or experience of where you in your faith journey might experience God in a new way, and you are confronted with an opportunity. Do I step into this new thing? And what does it look like? So there's two aspects about this that I want to play out today. I don't know what your personal faith story is like. I don't know if it's been really easy for you, and God's been a God of grace and comfort for you, and your general story is God has been so good. He's been so good to me. Or if your faith story has been littered with hardship and challenges, and in your faith story you have still held on to this belief that I believe God is good, that he still somehow gives me strength each day to stand up underneath this challenge. And I have this incredible promise that nothing that I've suffered here on earth can compare to the incredible blessing of life everlasting that Jesus Christ has purchased for me. Now, I also don't know if some of you are here because your spouse invited you to come to church. You're not sure about church. I don't know if you just happened to stop by. Something's going on in your life. You're not sure about faith in Christ. You're not sure about church. But back behind in your mind, there's this thought, this hope. Maybe Jesus matters. Maybe he can do something about what I'm experiencing. I'm glad for this last section of this study because it's going to present two incredible new beginnings that God is doing. So turn in your Bibles, Mark chapter 1. I want to give you a little bit of the context. We're going to look at verse 40 here. If you remember from last week, as we've been going through this study, Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He had a really successful ministry in the town of Capernaum. He had preached in the synagogue. in their gathering place. He'd preached a message and healed a person who had been possessed and oppressed by demons and gave that person freedom. And from the synagogue, he went into a home and he blessed that home. And from that home, the whole community was blessed. Last week, we said, well, after that long day, Jesus got up early in the morning and went to a quiet place to pray. And in his prayer time, God reminded him of why he existed. And it actually challenged him not to go back to the place where everybody was excited to see him. But Jesus said, no, I'm supposed to go to all the other villages and preach there so that they can, because that's why I came. So as he's going to these villages, there's over 150 different villages in the region of Galilee, and Jesus evidently made it to each one of those different villages. Mark does what he does oftentimes. He talks about Jesus' broad ministry to lots of people. Didn't care who they were or where they were, Jesus was announcing God is on the move. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. And that announcement was going out, and he was healing people, teaching and preaching. Mark does what he always does. He talks about the broad ministry, and then he focuses it onto a personal story. Jesus does this broad focus and then a very intentional focus on one or two. My prayer has been that he would do that today. As I'm doing a broad focus of preaching the gospel, my prayer is the Holy Spirit would do a very intentional one-on-one with you where you're at. Here's the story of the one-on-one. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. I'm going to stop there real quickly. I want you to underline hard or write down on a piece of paper the word leper. I want you to understand, many of you, if you've been in the church for a long time, you understand this. But leprosy was the word that was used to describe any kind of an infectious skin disease. And in the Old Testament, God had given instructions, the book of Leviticus. If you've ever tried to read through the Bible in a year, you've gone through Genesis, Exodus, and you got to Leviticus, and I bet many of you stopped when you got to Leviticus. Because Leviticus is a lot of rules and regulations that God gives to his people. Now, what's interesting there is this is way before there's hospitals and medicine and antibiotics. And if you look at the rules that God gives in Leviticus and Numbers, they are actually given to help you avoid sicknesses and the spreading of diseases. And in fact, God said to the people of Israel, to Moses, said, if you obey these commands, none of the diseases that the Egyptians had will fall on you. Now, you may read through Leviticus and say, man alive, that's a lot of rules that God gave. How do you cleanse a house of mold? Well, they didn't understand mold. They didn't understand how that can cause harm for your life. They didn't understand that the spores are being breathed in the air. They had no way, no microscopes to be able to identify that. And yet God, before they could even understand why, gave them these regulations that looked like they were oppressive, but they were actually for their good, so that none of the diseases that fall on people who walk outside of that law, none of those diseases would fall on them. So they didn't understand infection, that disease can be spread, that you sneeze, everybody else breathes that air of what you just sneezed. Your skin rubs off and other people get what you get. So if you don't mind, I'm going to take you to Leviticus chapter 13, where God talks a whole chapter. You don't have to read the whole chapter. Let me just read two verses that describe the leper's condition. And you'll understand what this man was dealing with. Verse 45 and 46 of Leviticus 13. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. So just look at that. I want you to think of what this man's life had been like while he had this disease. He had to remove himself from his family when the disease came on. As much as he might try to hide it, when he noticed that he had it, he had to move out of his home, out of the city, to a camp where other lepers stayed. And that's where he lived until he got clean. Anytime somebody was drawing near, he had to yell out, "Unclean, don't come near me." And so for months, years, he had lived in an isolation, basically. No people near him other than other lepers. No opportunity to go to the temple or go to church. He couldn't enter any place where there were clean people. Otherwise, he was going to pass on his uncleanness. He was isolated. He was shamed. He was separated from family and friends. Now, I don't know what he actually was feeling or thinking, but Jesus has been coming to the cities around him, and something has sparked in this leper's mind. He's heard about some of the things that Jesus has done. And all of a sudden, a spark of a belief of something that he's never thought about before, a belief, a faith starts to happen. And he starts to think in his mind, "I think Jesus can heal me." Then all of a sudden, that thought, as he hears more of the stories of who Jesus is, this thought moves into a conviction. "I know he can heal me." Would you underline the words that he says? Mark chapter 1, verse 40, he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Okay, so let me just deal with that. This is the hard part of the Christian life. This is the difficult thing, and I don't know that I have easy answers for this. Many people have had some of their deepest wounds come on this very critical statement. The thought comes is that God is either powerful and he can do good things and bring about restoration in our lives. And if he's powerful and loving, then he will. So he's both strong and he cares. But all of us wrestle with this paradox of where those two meet. And it's this question of, "I believe you can." The question is, will you? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Maybe somebody was going through a difficult situation, and you know God has the power to remedy that situation. The God who created the universe and has created each one of us inside, even when bad things happen and you don't believe in God, you blame God for the bad things that are happening. You blame this creator because you believe he has the power. And if he's a good God, then his power ought to be demonstrated in helping you in your time of need. And if that help didn't come in the way that you anticipated, that crux of that question, then either he's not all powerful or he doesn't really care. Do you see where this leper is at? This leper is at a very difficult situation in his faith. And he stated it very boldly, very humbly, and he comes to Jesus probably has already been saying, unclean, unclean. But he's come clear enough to Jesus to at least shout out to say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now let me just real quickly. There's probably a number of us today that are in that kind of a situation. You've got that phrase that could be stated in your own prayer life. There's something you've been praying for a long time. There's something that keeps nagging at you. There's some challenge that you keep facing, and over again, you keep hoping God's going to give a remedy, and no remedy has come. And yet you keep offering this prayer. If you are willing, I know you could make me clean. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, that struggle that Christians face is a very real struggle. Our faith is not always candy-coated and easy. Following Jesus sometimes has difficult times. And we believe God is over all, and that sometimes his no's to us are actually a better pathway for us that we can't necessarily see right now, but looking back, we might be able to see. I believe God always hears the prayers that sincere hearts, broken hearts, cry out to him. I always believe he hears and answers. But he may not always answer the way I want. And some of you have walked that journey. And if you're a non-Christian, I don't want this to keep you from considering making a decision to follow Jesus. Because I believe even in your life, there's a journey that he wants to invite you on. If you would, like this leper, say, I believe he can, and I'm going to come to him and ask him if he will. In the scripture, leprosy is very much related to our sin story with God. In scripture, this is defined as our own story. Sin, like leprosy, separates us spiritually from God. We feel a distance. We feel shame. In our own hearts, even though we might try to cover it with all kinds of other things that makes it look like we're okay, inside, at night, in our most truest senses when we look at ourselves, we wrestle with this, I'm not okay. And it may be caused from something else somebody did to me, maybe something that I did, maybe a decision like Kathy talks about that I made at one point and I can't shake. Jesus, can you make me clean if you are willing? And I just want you to know, this church teaches Jesus can and he will in the area. Every time, there's always a yes in this area of sin. In the areas of where my sin has infected my life, Jesus always says, yes, I can. When he died on the cross, he shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And God placed on Jesus so that your sins you don't have to suffer the punishment of your sin. God placed on Jesus the consequences of your sin. And all you have to do is by faith come and say, Lord, cleanse me. I know you can. I know you will. And scripture says, all you have to do is repent, believe, be baptized, surrender yourself to come follow Jesus. And scripture says the promise happens every time. God fills you with his Holy Spirit, washes away your sin. I know that prayer of a sinful person is always answered yes. But we're dealing with a leper. And Jesus isn't specifically dealing with his sin. And so the question is still there. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Would you read on to this passage? And you already know the end of the story, don't you? I thought I was going to build it up to kind of a crisis point, but you already know, because you know who Jesus is. Immediately, moved with pity, verse 41 says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, Say it with me. I will be clean. Say that with me. I will be clean. Say it again. I will be clean. And that's all Jesus had to do. Now, a couple things to notice in this verse. Do you notice what Jesus did to this man before he said that? Would you circle this word touched? Would you circle the word touched? Wow, here's the crisis. This man had not been touched by a clean person for months, years. What would that feel like? And all of a sudden, the Messiah, the Son of God, reaches out and touches the man, maybe on the spot where he had the leprosy. And this isolation that this man had been felt, you just have to imagine the emotional swell of what's happening as he's seeing Jesus' hand come down closer and closer to touch him on the spot where his illness was at. And he's all of a sudden getting what you've heard about Jesus, but you've never personally experienced, that Jesus so deeply loves you, he will come to where you are, he will experience the hurt that you've had, he'll be tempted in every way just like you've been, because he wants to touch you and make you clean. And I want to ask you, do you know that Jesus? Do you know that Jesus? That today, for your sin uncleanness, he would say, I will be clean, and you can be washed in the blood. Do you know that in the area of your challenge, whatever the challenge is that you might be facing, Jesus hears your cry and you're still wondering, he can, but will he? And it's very possible right now for your situation, your shaky faith may be meeting God's incredible mercy. As your mercy, or your misery reaches out for his mercy, his mercy is reaching out to touch you in the middle of your misery. And I don't know what it is today, but I want to ask you today, would you just whisper in your own mind, Jesus, in this area of my life, I need you to touch me. I need you to make me clean. This bitterness, this unforgiveness, this lack of faith, this fear that I have, this anger, this shame, whatever it is, whatever that area is, you know what it is, because it torments you all the time. And it's separated you from intimacy with God and intimacy with others. I want to ask you, would you say, Lord, if you're willing, I believe it, you can make me clean. Now here's the amazing story here. Jesus is always surprising me. He heals the man, verse 42 says, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Hallelujah. There ought to be applause in the crowd here for this. Hallelujah. The leper is made clean. A sinner has found Jesus. Somebody's faith, belief in Jesus, that Jesus could do something they had never seen yet. We don't know that Jesus had ever healed a leper, but this leper said, I believe if he's willing, he can do it. Then Jesus says something strange. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and to offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded you as a proof for them. Now you can read Leviticus chapter 13 to find out what that offering was supposed to be. But Jesus says, go out and don't tell anybody. Okay. So just some context for this, and I need to wrap up my message. Context for this. Jesus does this a number of times when he heals somebody. And you have to think, this incredible thing has happened in their life, and he tells them, don't tell anybody. Now there's a couple of passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 18, where Jesus heals a man possessed by demons, and he doesn't live in Judea. He lives in another area outside the other side of the Jordan. And Jesus tells that man, no, you go home and you tell everybody what God's done for you. But usually people in Judea and Jerusalem and Galilee, Jesus said, keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody. And you know, it's just bursting, trying to get out. But part of the reason is because as Jesus' popularity is growing, he knows the intentionality of the opposition increases as well. And Jesus is aware of God's timetable in his life. And he knows there's going to come a time when that opposition is going to come to the point where he's going to have to be arrested, beaten, put on a cross, and die. But Jesus knows that has to happen on the day of Passover. It has to happen at a season of Passover, because the Passover was a prophecy of this ultimate forgiveness that God's going to give and freedom that God would provide for his people. So Jesus told people, don't say anything to people, because that's going to increase the popularity and increase the opposition, and it's going to hurry up the point where the crisis is going to come. So how good does the guy do on obeying that first command he got from Jesus? Okay, so he went out and began to talk freely about it. And he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from everywhere. Now, I don't think disobedience necessarily always brings God's purposes around. It obviously caused Jesus to have to quietly sneak into a town or have to stay outside of town to be able to do ministry and teach and preach and heal. And that wasn't what Jesus was planning on. But do you remember the verse that we started off with during this series? There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. God makes a promise about 800 years before Jesus is born, and he says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up right around you. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, would you go back to Mark chapter 1? Would you circle the word desolate places in verse 45? Wow. The prophecy is happening. Out in the desert, in the wilderness, God's provided a way. And streams, it's not streams of water, it's streams of people are coming from all over the area. Streams are coming to this way to find the hope that God wants to give. If you read on in the Isaiah passage, it even says that jackals and wild beasts are going to find there and rejoice. And I feel like that's the leper, these broken people, these people who have been captured by sin are coming out and finding this river, this life that exists through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Even though it's not necessarily what Jesus wanted, we see the prophecy coming into fulfillment. So here's the so what. I believe there's something new God wants to do in your life. We're just going to take the leper story and try to apply it. Maybe the something new is you've heard a lot of things about Jesus. And now it's time for you to make a decision based on conviction. What do you believe about Jesus? And if you've been sitting in the balance, investigating Jesus and listening to the things that happened to him, as you've read this first chapter of Mark, and as you continue, if you would, continue reading through Mark, who is this Jesus? Well, what do people believe about him, and what do you believe? And I want to ask you, if today would be the day you'd say, "Jesus, I believe, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And you would say, in the area of your sin in your life, and the separation, the brokenness that you've experienced in your life, that maybe today you would say, "I believe you are willing and you will make me clean." Today, I just want to offer, if you've been sitting on the sidelines investigating Jesus, I want to ask you today, what do you believe about him? And are you ready today to say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and I'm ready to follow him for the rest of my life. We'd love to help you with that decision. Here's the second challenge. I want to ask you, are you willing to touch people that you've typically been offended by? And in your broad outreach to try to be Jesus to lost people in the community, it's very likely you're going to meet one or two of those people. And I want to ask you, will you reach out? Would you demonstrate God's incredible grace that you've received? Would you demonstrate that to somebody else? And maybe they're living in an immoral sexual lifestyle. Maybe they've been addicted to chemicals, drugs, whatever it might be. Maybe they've been an angry, bitter person all their life. Maybe they're ashamed of something that's happened in their life, and they're living out that in the world of that shame. I want to ask you, if you meet them and they come and say, I believe this about Jesus, would you be Jesus' hand to them? Would you say, I will treat you just like heaven treats you. I'll love you. I'll touch you. I'll embrace you. I'll help you find your way into a relationship with him so you can find the healing and peace that he brings. The question really is, will you? Will you visit the empty tomb where there's all kinds of people struggling with poverty and alcohol and addictions and drugs? And would you come alongside one of them and say, I will try to point you to Jesus? Will you go to a care center, to somebody who's old, can't really speak well, maybe doesn't have the physical condition to be able to even lift up their head or shake your hand? I want to ask you, will you demonstrate God's mercy to them? Will you be God's hand to demonstrate mercy reaches out to misery? My prayer would be that Kingsway Christian Church will be known as a church that's constantly, in God's grace, reaching out to people in need. Would you pray with me? Father God, we ask you to make us more like Jesus. And today, if there's somebody who's never made a decision, a public decision to say, I believe what I'm reading about Jesus is true. I believe who he says he is. I believe what he did has an impact on my life, and I desperately need him. Father, I pray that you'd allow Satan's bondage and disbelief and fear and doubt to be removed from this moment of decision. And I pray that you'd prompt some of us today to make our decision to say, Jesus, I come to you. Father, for some of us, we need your strength and your power to remind us how you reached out in our misery and touched us with your mercy. Would you help us to reach out to others and help us to cross the barriers that social, sometimes religious, and personal habits and economical challenges, help us to cross whatever barrier there might need to be so we can reach out with mercy to the misery of the people around us. God, make that happen for your glory, because we believe in this generation there's people that you want to call to yourself. May we come into your presence. We ask in your name, and believing you're going to answer, we respond with this, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and I believe there's some people who maybe have maybe some things you'd like to be prayed over for, and we will have elders back in the back. And if you'd like to have somebody pray with you, I'd invite you to come and meet in the back of the room, and somebody would be glad to pray with you. If you want to make a decision for Christ, I'll be up front, and there'll be other people who'd be glad to help you with that decision. Don't let this decision pass. The decision is for you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ that he can and will? And then secondly, I want to ask you, do you believe by the power of Jesus Christ that you're the hand of mercy that God wants to touch somebody else? And I want to ask you, will you consider that invitation as you stand and sing this song?